Okay, welcome to our deep dive. Let's get right into it. We're looking at hearing tests today, but specifically outside the usual soundproof booth.
Yeah, think about places like a school nurse's office, maybe a clinic somewhere remote, lots of everyday background noise.
Right, and that ambient noise, it's a huge hurdle for getting accurate results. That's really the challenge we're tackling.
Exactly. And our main source, this white paper on the CUDA Wave audiometer, it lays out a pretty sophisticated system they've developed to handle just that.
So the mission today is figuring out how does this tech measure the noise, specifically the noise inside your ear during the test?
And crucially, what are the calculations it uses to make sure the results are actually reliable, even with all that background hum?
Okay, so where do we start? What's the core measurement?
Well, they use this metric called noise in ear canal, external mic, DBHL. The system, the CUDA Wave, calls it SPH lean ear.
SPH linear. Got it. And that's not just room noise.
No, it's cleverer than that. The system is actually estimating the noise level right there at your eardrum, where it matters most for the test.
Okay, makes sense. Getting really specific. And the sources mentioned a multi-step calculation to get this SPH linear value. What's the first bit?
All right, so they start by measuring the noise outside, the ambient noise. But straight away, before anything else, they apply this conservative plus 3 dB SPL recording offset.
Hold on, a plus 3 dB offset, you mean they add 3 dB? That sounds backward. Why add noise if you're trying to deal with noise?
Yeah, it does seem odd at first glance, but it's actually a very deliberate safety margin. Think of it as building in a buffer.
A buffer, how so?
By basically treating the measured sound pressure level, the SPL, as if it were 3 dB louder than it really is, they're being extra cautious.
Okay. So it accounts for maybe tiny microphone variations or ensures they don't underestimate the noise.
Exactly. It gives them confidence. So when the system says, okay, it's quiet enough for a valid test down to this level, you can trust it really is quiet enough. It errs on the side of caution.
Okay, that makes more sense. So measure the noise, add this plus 3 dB safety buffer, then what? They have to figure out the noise inside the ear, right?
Right. Next, they account for how much sound the headset itself and the ear tips actually block out. That's the attenuation. That gives them an estimate of the SPL inside the ear canal.
And from that in-ear sound pressure level.
That gets converted into what's called an uncorrected hearing level, or DBHL.
DBHL, right? That's the standard scale for hearing tests, reference to average normal hearing.
Precisely. Audiometric zero. That's the baseline. So now we have the noise level inside the ear on that hearing test scale, but it's still labeled uncorrected.
So, what's the final correction step to get the actual SPH in ear value that the system uses?
They subtract something called the MPNL correction factor.
MPNL, maximum permissible ambient noise levels. That sounds familiar.
That's the one. It's basically the internationally agreed upon loudest background noise you can have and still get a valid hearing test result right down to 0 dBHL for a specific frequency.
And these correction factors, are they just something CUDA Wave came up with?
No, and this is really important. While the factors are specific to the CUDA Wave setup, you know, its headset and ear tips, they are directly derived from and linked to external standardized MPNL values.
Like from established guides or standards.
Exactly. The sources mention the GeoAxon guide, and these link back to major standards like ANSI or ISO. It connects the CUDA Wave's internal math to the wider world of audiology standards.
So it's using those recognized noise limits to fine-tune its own internal noise reading.
You've got it. This correction factor essentially normalizes the SPH linear display. So when that SPH linear value reads about 0 dBHL,
Let me guess. That means the actual external noise is right at the allowed limit for testing down to perfect hearing, 0 dBHL, after accounting for the headset blocking noise and that plus 3 dB buffer.
precisely. And if SPH linear is negative, it's even quieter than that effective limit. If it's positive, uh-oh, it's noisier, and testing down to 0 dBHL might not be reliable for that frequency.
Okay, that calculation makes sense for checking the environment. But what about reading the test results? The reports mention a minimum plateau threshold, often with an arrow pointing up.
Yes. That's a really important note for you, the listener. If you see it on a report, it tells you something specific about the test conditions.
What does it mean?
It means the level marked, say, 20 dB, is the softest sound the person responded to, but the test wasn't actually done at even softer levels, like 15 dB or 10 dB.
And why not? Is it always because of the noise?
Often, yes.
Yeah.
It could be because the SPH linear value was too high. The background noise simply made it impossible to reliably test any softer sounds. Or sometimes the specific test protocol just didn't require going lower.
So it's an annotation saying this is as low as we could reliably go under these conditions.
Essentially, yes. It's the achieved threshold in that specific test environment, acknowledging that noise might have been a limiting factor compared to a perfectly silent booth.
Okay, so let's bring this all together for you, the listener. What we're seeing is how tech, like the Kudu Wave, uses these, well, complex but really carefully thought out calculations.
Like that plus 3 dB conservative offset we talked about.
Right, and linking those correction factors back to established MPNL standards.
To give clinicians real confidence in the hearing test results, even when things aren't perfectly quiet.
Understanding things like SPH linear and how it's normalized using those standards helps make sure that the quietest sounds recorded on your test really are your true thresholds, not just sounds masked by background noise the system didn't properly manage.
And that minimum plateau threshold mark with the arrow, it's not just a symbol, it's vital context. It tells you about the real-world limits that particular test might have encountered.
Ultimately, this whole focus on precision, even in difficult settings, it points towards better and, importantly, more accessible hearing care. Testing can happen in more places.
Absolutely. And, you know, that brings up a really interesting thought to leave you with. Consider this meticulous way of managing noise, documenting it with specific calculations, tying it to external standards. Where else might this be needed? Think about other medical measurements taken outside perfectly controlled lab settings.
Yeah. Like, what other external factors, maybe not just noise, could be messing with clinical data?
Exactly. And could applying similar, detailed correction methods grounded in standards improve the accuracy and the trust we place in those results, too? Something to ponder.